Chilly start to this Wednesday morning, but it's Wednesday, right? So we'll take that. Right now, about 50 degrees. If you average your temperatures in the area, and it's going to get colder tomorrow, whatever rain is left should be gone by middle of the day. And then it turns cold and windy. Adam Knapp joins us now, CEO for Leaders for a Better Louisiana. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
You snuck in just under the wire because I said January 15th is the cutoff for, I got taxes on my mind, can you tell? January 15th is the cutoff for Happy New Year. So Happy New Year to you, sir.
I'll take it. Thank you.
Let's talk about what's going on with jobs in Louisiana.
So we put out a little note yesterday or 2 days ago that the Louisiana that we have grown up in and known for years has always been smaller than what it is today in terms of jobs. That's pretty interesting to know that we've grown to a place where we now should be talking about Louisiana as a place that has more than 2 million jobs. And that may not mean a whole lot to folks, but it's been a mark that Louisiana hasn't been able to hit and then hang on to ever before.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about
where the state is right now.
What it means in terms of context. Put that in some kind of context about 2 million jobs.
Yeah, so there's probably about just less than half of the states have 2 million jobs. So we're in unique territory for what that means in terms of the size of the state's economy. But it's also that, you know, we got to this a decade ago, and it was, you know, kind of this elusive mark. We thought, hey, at some point we'll get to 2 million jobs. That'll feel like a high water mark and a new place to describe kind of what the state has in terms of its scale as an economy. But we got to it back in like 2014, hung on to it for like 4 months, and then it slipped away from us. And we haven't seen it for a decade. It feels like, you know, a sports season, you know, you have a great moment and then it gets gone. And so where we are today, it's interesting. We crossed this mark mid-year last year. And so a lot of folks just started watching to see if we'd hang on to it. And so we looked at this just last week when the latest numbers came out for what was November last year, and the state has now hung on to this point for 7 months, and it looks like the state's in a growth position that it's likely to stay in that position well into the new year. And so this feels like it's something we all need to kind of take a note of and just say this is the new normal is a state with 2 million jobs.
So to keep the sports analogy going, what are some of the factors that lead to the 2 million jobs, and also what is it that that can lead to the loss of those or that not being accomplished? And I guess what I'm trying to ask you, what are the factors and what are you competing against?
Well, I think the state has really kind of redoubled its efforts to try to grow its economy. You're seeing a much more aggressive team and effort from Louisiana Economic Development, from every regional organization. You know, New Orleans is blessed with a great regional effort and great local efforts across the metro area. But that is, you know, now pretty standard across the entire state that almost every metro area has a really aggressive regional and local team that's pushing for new investment. And the state is doing the same. And I think what we've seen is a pretty sizable increase last year in the total amount of projects that are coming into Louisiana or existing companies that just feel like this is the right time to be expanding. And it's across a wide variety of sectors. You see data centers in North and South Louisiana, you see big LNG projects announcing over in the Lake Charles area. Just fascinating manufacturing projects, a drone manufacturer, you know, moving into Lafayette. It's kind of the talk of the town, and big bioenergy project in Alexandria. It's just really fascinating how spread out across the state it is right now.
So, you know, we hear about New Orleans having a chance to bid for the Super Bowl after not having this, having that, the other thing. And it's like, okay, you got it. Good luck. How do you do it now? And I don't mean that sarcastically at all. I mean it sincerely. So when it comes to you pitching, or at least the state pitching itself among other against other states to get jobs, what are some of the things that Louisiana has? Tell you what, I just noticed the clock. You can tell them when we come back. Some of the things Louisiana has going for it, some of the things that Louisiana has to overcome. We're talking to Adam Knapp, CEO of Leaders for a Better Louisiana. Louisiana set a record, staying above the 2 million job mark for 7 months. How do you keep it going, and how do you build upon that? We'll continue the conversation when we come back. Adam Knapp, CEO of Leaders for a Better Louisiana. I'm Tommy Tucker. Time to go to Joe Cardosi for a look at traffic on WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, having an interesting conversation with Adam Knapp, CEO of Leaders for a Better Louisiana. Louisiana set a record, staying above the 2 million job mark for 7 straight months. So along those lines, Adam, first of all, where are the new jobs going to come from? I know you mentioned some of the industries already, but looking ahead 5-10 years down the line?
So it's interesting because the sectors that seem to be expanding right now are heavily connected to the energy industry and kind of future of energy. Almost everywhere in the state, you're seeing activity that kind of touches energy industry. Data centers and kind of supply chain of some data centers. We saw two companies up in the kind of the northwest part of the state that expanded that were connected to data center supply chain. And then we had this really serious, interesting series of projects in shipbuilding, where you had this project down in Franklin that had kind of an autonomous shipbuilding project built, along with the steel industry, two or three different projects that are in the steel industry, kind of bringing new supply chain into the U.S. as there's a desire to have more local manufacturing in the U.S. of that product. So it's really been interesting, kind of the broad variety of companies that are and sectors that are represented in this space. And I think that's what you're seeing is the state pushing to look for not only its existing strength in energy, but new sectors coming in a wide variety of ways.
So what do leaders tell economic development leaders, tell companies that might be thinking about another state? What can they tell them that Louisiana has reasons for bring those industries, bring those jobs to Louisiana?
You know, I think there's a great example in Hyundai Steel in Donaldsonville that the state and the local leaders have been preparing the land to make it really investment ready. And I think the state's doing some smart things all over Louisiana to try to prepare more sites like that. It sounds boring to say, hey, let's just get a really good site. But that's really critical. The state has been made a big investment last year, about $150 million into site preparation all over Louisiana. And that has proven to be really, really timely to get ready for projects and what they need. Second big thing is like energy supply is a huge thing. So a lot of what companies are looking for is to make sure they have a ready supply of low-cost power. And so that still is a differentiator across the country, is that Louisiana is really advantaged in having very low cost power. It's not sexy necessarily, but it's helping us win a story. And the third thing is Louisiana made a huge change to its tax code last year. For states that have an income tax, corporate or personal, Louisiana has pushed to lower it to be among the lowest in the South. And that story thread of kind of low personal and corporate income taxes is starting to get out there. And telling the story for what the state's got as an advantage.
You can have a philosophical argument if you'd like about tax credits, about site preparation, about this, that, the other thing. That's fine. But when it comes to the real world, pragmatically, you're competing with other states that are willing to do this. And that's really where the discussion has to begin. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. Virginia, Georgia, North Carolina, Ohio, states have been putting huge investments into sites, and Louisiana has recognized the need to compete, to put the same kinds of investments into site readiness, into tax code change. And to credit to the legislature and the administration for doing so in a fairly balanced way. We actually did a study last year to see if in changing the tax code, did it change kind of the fairness across all household income groups? And largely what the changes they've made have done is keep it fairly balanced, but they just redistributed kind of where the taxation occurs. And it looks like it more or less kind of helped the state compete without necessarily putting the burden on any single kind of household income group, which is what you hope to see in tax changes.
Is there a synergy that happens where once you get one, then before you know it, you got two and you got a snowball effect?
You do. Yeah, you're seeing that right now in data centers, is like the momentum for the state and having been able to prove that it works for one is really kind of starting to get the state's attention. But it's doing that across energy, across technology sectors. You're seeing that in New Orleans. It's really exciting.
Adam, next year I'm going to talk to you on January 14th, 2026. We'll be talking about 3 million jobs, all right?
Let's do it. I love it.
Thank you, sir. Have a good year.
You too.
Adam Knapp, CEO of Leaders for a Better Louisiana. We'll talk to DA Jason Williams about the new Lights On initiative, working with the Moreno administration on public safety when we come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 7:44, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney. Good morning, Mr. District Attorney. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Tucker. How are you?
Happy. Well, come on. I would be Mr. Radio Announcer. I wouldn't be Mr. How you doing? How's mom? How's everybody? Happy New Year to y'all.
My mother is doing really well. I'm just blessed to have another year with her, and family's good. Life is what we make it. We got a lot of work to do.
You got a good idea there, my friend. Tell me about street lights and why the district attorney was concerned with the Lights On initiative.
You know, this sort of grows out of what we were talking about the last time I was with you, when we were talking about our No Dice initiative, which Chief Michael Harrison was a huge part of, and Daniel Shanks directed. And both of those folks are now working with the new mayor. And one of the things that came out of the transition, when you talk to the mayor, you talk to Deputy Chief Harrison, was people saying they were living in the dark. They were walking through the dark when they were getting out of their car, going home, during the thoroughfares they were traveling in. And it's one of the main things that we always made sure happened at all of the sites of our No Dice initiative. We worked with the city department to get lights up for those blocks, so that after we working with the ATF and the LSP and the New Orleans Police Department, after we moved and made the arrest and were prosecuting the people that were committing crimes in the area, we made sure that they came back in and cleaned it up. The city cleaned it up, not the DA's office, and we made sure that it was lit up. And I think the mayor is doing exactly what she said she wanted to do, which was deliver the services people know they deserve to all the parts of the community. And she started in a place that's been historically underserved as it relates to street lights and beautification. And I think it's going to be really important to getting that Willow's apartment back on the market, in the commerce, and operating in a healthy, lawful way.
Tell me about, is it as simple as bad things happen in the dark? I know that sounds crazy, but I think that goes back to time immemorial, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, you know, Tommy, some of the most important things we learned in kindergarten, some of the most important things we've known our whole lives, it's just the political will and the discipline to make sure that you do all of the basics well, right? We're asking and hoping that somebody will come in and purchase that building. Well, I mean, would you go purchase an apartment complex that didn't have a single street light on and the grass wasn't mowed? So, I mean, the city's got to do its part. That's putting skin in the game. So the business sector sees it's worth putting skin in the game. So it is very basic, but it is very, very critical to making sure that we have a healthy community.
You're at the inauguration on Monday. Tell me about the feeling, not just in the city, but as far as you're concerned, from your opinion, about the feeling with those in government and involved with the government about the a new air, if you will, that's at City Hall and in New Orleans.
It was kind of electric, and I'm not trying, it's not hyperbolic. People from all walks of life, especially folks in public safety spaces and other elected officials, even those who were from different parties, felt like there was real, honest dialogue and conversation about what the plan was, about what the priorities were going to be. And that has carried over. It hasn't stopped. I've been very excited throughout all of the inaugural events. But the first couple of days, I mean, not only were we in New Orleans East with the Mayor's Lights On initiative, at 1 o'clock, she convened a meeting with all of the public safety leaders in the region. That's the new U.S. Attorney David Corsell, FBI Special Agent Select, ATF Special Agent in charge, LSP, Troop NOLA, NOPD, every single law enforcement entity, state, local, and federal, was in that room with this mayor and her deputy mayors, talking about going into the next year, talking about lines of communication. And I didn't have a single meeting like that at all in the last term that was directed by the chief executive of the city. And everyone was really excited in that meeting, strategizing, talking about conversations that can be had in D.C., conversations that need to be had in Baton Rouge, and how we can best communicate with each other so that we're delivering excellence for the people of this community. So there's a lot of optimism.
Communications, as simple as it seems, as simple as it sounds, it's amazing how the lack of it can cause so much problem. We'll pick it up when we come back with Jason Williams. We'll continue to communicate with him, New Orleans District Attorney. You got any questions, comments, text him in the 504-260-1870. We come back, we're going to talk about NOLA Safe, a partnership with federal law enforcement that's underway right now. Time for WWL Traffic. 7:55, 5 till 8, Tommy Tucker talking to DA Jason Williams about Operation New Lights On initiative by Mayor Helena Moreno about the feeling in the city about how things are looking up and a far more optimistic in communication and how important that is. Let's talk about NOLA Safe, Jason.
It's a phenomenal program. It's not a totally new concept. It's really just strategic collaboration between federal and state law enforcement entities. But it's got the FBI, it's got the ATF, it's got the DEA working with the NOPD on the municipal level and the LSP on the state level. But they're focused on the city of New Orleans, and they're using the National Guard strategically. We've got a different relationship with the National Guard than some other cities. They've been coming here for many years for our large events. So people of New Orleans, visitors to New Orleans, don't have that same sort of shock and awe because we know the role that they can play for large events. But what this is going to do is create these strategic sort of pods or partnerships so that if a National Guardsman sees something, he or she can easily get that information and work with NOPD or ATF, who are all going to be on the scene to effectuate an investigation, make an arrest if need be. And then the important part is that evidence is collected and a report is written so that can get to me or the U.S. Attorney's Office so we can prosecute the case. So it's not just visibility in terms of public safety, but it's also setting up some real intelligence in terms of going after networks of bad offenders. It's only for a limited period of time through February, but it's going to lead to intelligence that will continue to drive other investigations for these agencies moving forward. And I think it's really special that we're using the National Guardsmen in probably the most strategic way compared to any of the other cities that have had them deployed. Whatever life throws you, you got to make it work. And I think that's what we're trying to do here in the city of New Orleans, because that's kind of our culture, whether it's fighting hurricane season and having to go through a lot of things that a lot of other residents don't have to go through in this country. We're used to being nimble.
Yeah. You know what intrigued me about this is I read the story about NOLA Safe is the prospect of federal charges as opposed to local, because that to me can be a game changer. Talk about that, if you will.
I mean, we can go back to the Ken Polite days, or we can talk about the Jim Lutton days or before. Having strong federal prosecutions in conjunction with what we're doing on the state level really changes the environment on the ground. There's a host of charges that we don't even have in our tool belt. Mm-hmm. And you've got jurors from all over, from a larger swath of the region who are going to be hearing these cases. And you're talking about a whole nother section of courts and judges that can be operating, handling cases at the same time. So it relieves that bottleneck. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand that if you only got prosecutions happening at a robust level in the 12 courts of Tulane and Broad, only so many cases can be handled a day. Well, when that engine is turned on, and that's what David Corcell made it very clear he wants to do, he wants to start very quickly with upping the number of federal prosecutions. That's going to be a game changer in the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, because it's less, it's probably, I would think, maybe more experienced prosecutors, no disrespect to anybody in your office, but and it also frees up their time, right?
Facts are facts. More experienced prosecutors, more of them, and a whole lot more resources. You start talking about the FBI, the ATF, and the Department of Justice. That's a lot more money going into these cases.
I still want to see you in court one day. I hear you're quite the litigator. Let me know.
Gotta get you on jury duty. How about that?
Well, I live in Plaquemines. That could be a problem, Jason.
Well, that could be a problem. They're not gonna let me prosecute out there. They're not gonna let you be on a jury.
Well, no, but I can go to Orleans Parish and watch you prosecute a case. I can do that. I'd like to watch you in action.
We'll set it up.
Thank you, Jason.
I'd love to have you in there.
All right, man. Have a good day. Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney. Have a great year. We'll talk to Ronald Serpas. I want to talk to him about the National Guard and more when we come back.